God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke 11, and we'll be reading the first 13 verses of this chapter. Luke 11, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. I would invite you to turn to the back of your Psalters to page 57 in the back section. Page 57, this is Lord's Day 45. And this morning I will read for you questions 116 through 118. From Lord's Day 45, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart, to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what He promised us in His Word. Question 118, what did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. Well, this morning we return to our study of the Word of God as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. I remind you that the Catechism is a helpful tool that we have in the preaching ministry of the Church. Catechism preaching, by its very nature, is a topical preaching. That is, it directs our minds to certain topics that are should be of interest to the Christian Church. The blessings of the Catechism is that it avoids the minister always preaching his own favorite topic. Maybe his favorite topic is God-centered education for our children. Every other sermon sounds like that. Maybe in some Pentecostal churches, the sermons all have to do with the gifts of the Spirit, and every sermon is about that. Or in other churches, perhaps eschatology. And every sermon comes from Revelation, or from Daniel, or from the end of Matthew. The catechism is a useful tool for us, because the topics of the catechism direct the text chosen for the preaching of the Word. As in contrast with our evening services, where the texts are really textually driven. We're going through a study of the book of Mark. That's not a topical study, that's a textually driven study. So this morning we return to that blessing that God, that we have in catechetical preaching. There are four basic topics covered in the Heidelberg Catechism and in most catechisms. They are, first of all, the Apostles' Creed, our understanding of that fundamental confession that we make as believers. They are the sacraments of the church. We talk about the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper. The third topic is the Ten Commandments. We spent many weeks together studying the Ten Commandments. And now we enter the last main topic covered in the Catechism, the Lord's Prayer. And we will, for the next several weeks together, look at the beauty and be instructed in prayer through our looking at texts regarding the Lord's Prayer. The disciples, when they saw Jesus praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." The disciples, at this point, had seen Jesus feed the multitudes. They had seen Jesus heal the sick. They had seen Jesus give sight to the blind, help the lame to walk. They had seen Jesus cast out evil spirits. They had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. But when they see him pray, they say, "Lord, teach us." This is the only how-to question the disciples ever asked Jesus. They never ask him, "Lord, teach us how to feed the multitudes." They never ask him, "Lord, teach us how to heal the sick, how to cast out demons, how to raise the dead." But when they see him pray, "Lord, teach us how to pray." The disciples sensed what sometimes we take for granted, and that is the glory of prayer, the privilege of prayer, the majesty of prayer. They recognize that prayer is a glorious, grand thing to be able to speak with God. This morning we begin our study of the Lord's Prayer with that same imperative, "Lord, teach us how we might pray." First of all, our confession reminds us, and the Word of God as well, of the necessity of prayer. Our confession highlights for us that prayer is important. Why should we pray? Well, first of all, because prayer, as our confession says, is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Remember, we're in the last section of the catechism, what we sometimes call the gratitude or the service section. And in this section, we talk about ways of showing God our thankfulness, our gratitude. And one of those ways is certainly through the keeping of the law. And with every commandment, we reminded ourselves that the key to understanding this command is it is a thankful response to God. The same is true with prayer. Prayer to God is an expression of our thankfulness. In fact, our confession says it is the most important part of the thankfulness that we offer. Prayer, the most important part of thankfulness, even more important than keeping the commands. That's the picture of prayer we have to get.
that it is an important part of our lives. It's a critical part of our lives. It's a necessary part of our lives that we be engaged in prayer to God. We might say, why is prayer the most important part, even more important than obedience to the commands? Well, in keeping God's law, there is a certain sense in which we are offering something to Him. We are doing something for God. And we might fool ourselves into thinking that somehow we're repaying God for what He has done for us. Prayer is different. Prayer doesn't do anything for God. Prayer simply receives from God. We recognize that everything we have, that the gift of grace, that the forgiveness of our sins is not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done. Prayer is that chief part of thankfulness because it simply receives with open hands the gifts that God will give. Prayer is necessary because God Himself commands it. Three times in this Lord's Day, there is this picture that we get that it is an obligation for us. Question 116. Prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Not God suggests, God requires of us. The next one, 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no one than the other true God who revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. There is an obligation in prayer. It is not optional for the believer. It is an absolute necessity. And question 118, what did God command us to pray for? For the believer, when we ask ourselves, why should we pray? Because God tells us to. Because God commands us to. And with that command, then comes a sense of instruction. God, when the disciples went to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, He would go on to teach them how to pray. But they do it because it's what God requires, what He expects, what He commands. We read in verse 9, Jesus says to them, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. This absolute necessity of prayer must be an ongoing necessity for us. These words, ask and seek and knock, are in the original language, they are a sense of continually asking, continually seeking, continually knocking. They are present active imperatives. You can ask Krista Paris about that after church if you want to check me on that. But they are a sense of ongoing action. We are to continue to implore God in prayer. And there is a sense of movement and of progression in our prayers. Asking and seeking and knocking. There is movement forward as we pray. Imagine, kids, imagine that one day, well, imagine first of all you had a dog. Maybe you don't have a dog, maybe you do. Okay, imagine you had a dog. And one day you looked around the house and you couldn't find your dog. And you wanted to find your dog. So you walked outside your door, and you stood there, and anyone who walked by, you would ask a question. Have you seen my dog? 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 And everyone who walks by, you ask. Then, after asking and not getting any response, you actually, with your parents' permission, leave the house and go around the neighborhood looking for your dog, seeking your dog. Now you're taking the next step. Not just sitting back and asking if people go by, but you are actively looking. And finally, when you don't see your dog yet, you go to every house in the neighborhood, walking back and forth, knocking on every door. Have you seen my dog? Have you seen my dog? Have you seen my dog? Till finally, you find your dog. Asking, seeking, knocking, progression, going on and on, imploring more and more. That is why we pray. Because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually pray and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. The necessity in prayer includes an ongoing necessity. It's not something that we're done with once, but we ask and we seek and we knock.
Jesus gives instruction on how they are to pray. Our confession gives us three answers to that question. How does God want us to pray so He will listen to us? Very, very simple three answers. First, we must pray from the heart to no one other than the one true God, who's revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He's commanded us to ask for. It's a very simple matter as we pray. We are to pray from the heart. We are to pray sincerely. We are to pray recognizing that it is God who we are talking to. In the parallel passage in Matthew, when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, it is in the context of saying, when you pray, don't do it like the Pharisees or like the Gentiles. They pray with lots of words. They pray to hear themselves talk. But Jesus, in His instruction, will teach to pray sincerely, to pray from the heart, to pray, Father. That's an intimate language. To pray, Father, hallowed be Your name. Father, Your kingdom come. Father, provide for our needs. We pray sincerely, from the heart, recognizing we are talking not to some abstract God somewhere, but we are speaking to our Father in heaven. Perhaps it's particularly difficult in public prayer to be sincere. Maybe even prayer around the table. Sometimes as we're praying around the table, maybe our words get mixed up a little bit. And if that ever happens, we always say afterwards, well, God knows what we meant. Because He's the one we were talking to. In oral communal prayer, we're not talking to each other. Children, when we have the congregational prayer in our church, I'm not talking to you at that point. But with you, I am talking to God. We can't forget that. Prayer is talking to God. It's easy to forget. It's easy to think of prayer as an address to each other. I remember the story of a minister once who was eloquent in his prayers, and as he was praying in front of the congregation, he used a Latin phrase in his prayers to God, and then went on to translate that phrase for God, as if God didn't know what he was saying. He'd forgotten who he was talking to. God hears our prayers. If our words get jumbled a bit, either in our own voices or even in our minds, we are praying from the heart, sincerely to God our Father. We are praying humbly, our confession says. Second, we must acknowledge our need, our misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. That's the second manner in which we pray. We pray sincerely, we pray humbly, recognizing we are talking to God. Yes, He is our Father, but He is our Father in heaven. He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. This is not some buddy we are approaching. This is not some pal we're talking to. We are talking to God, the God who made everything that we see around us. And in His majestic presence, we are to humble ourselves, acknowledging our need, acknowledging our frailty, acknowledging our weakness. We don't come to God and say, hey, listen to me now. We come to God acknowledging His majesty, His glory, His power. And in that glorious presence, we humble ourselves before the greatness of our God. Oh, we have an intimate bond of father-child relationship. But our Father is the King of the universe. We are to pray humbly. And our confession says, third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer. Because of Christ our Lord. We may pray confidently, knowing God will hear our prayer. And that's why Jesus tells these two stories after teaching the Lord's Prayer. Two parallel stories. One regarding the request of a friend, one regarding the request of a son to a father. And while they're not quite so clear in English, it's very clear these are meant to be two parallel stories told with the same point, that we may be confident in the requests that we make. Jesus begins both of these stories really in the same way. It's a formulaic way of kind of saying, this is a parable almost. This is something that everybody should know the answer to. Which of you, if you have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and ask for bread, will say to you, don't bother me, the door is shut? Which of you has a friend who, if you go to him at midnight and ask for bread, he says, get away from me? And the answer is, no one. No one has a friend like that. Now, we may have acquaintances, we may have those with whom we are in contact, but a friend doesn't respond that way. Which of you has a friend like that? No one has a friend like that. A friend is someone who will get up, who will give the bread, even to his own inconvenience. The second parallel part of the story, which of you has a father that if you as a son come and ask for a fish, he will give you a serpent? If you ask for an egg, he will give you a scorpion. The answer, none of us. None of us has a father like that. A father doesn't turn a deaf ear to the cry of his son. A father, if he is able to help his son, will do whatever it takes to provide for his son's needs. We approach a holy God who is more than a friend. He is a father to us. And do we think if we go to him and lay out before him our needs, that this friend, that this father will say, don't bother me, I don't want to hear from you right now? No one has a friend like that. No one has a godly father like that. We have a Father in heaven. A Father who is willing, who is able to hear all the cries, all the requests, all the pleadings from His children. Jesus says in verse 8, I tell you that though he will not get up and give him anything because of his friend, yet because of his, and this version says, impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Impudence is a kind of a hard word to get a handle on. Kids, it is, the original word means confidence, means perseverance, means surety that the man will answer. We approach God confidently because of our faith in Him. Knowing how great He is, knowing His love for us, we approach Him at midnight, any time of the day, knowing that He will answer. We must rest on this unshakable foundation. God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord. God hears all prayers offered in Jesus' name. And that's the point of the end of the parable, the gifts God gives to His children. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What is it that we should pray for? What should be the content of these confident, sincere, humble prayers we bring to God? God commands us to pray for everything we need, spiritually and physically. God can provide the bread at midnight. God can provide the fish. God can provide the egg. We may turn to God for all of our physical needs. For the needs that we have to strengthen our bodies, for the needs that we have within our bodies. Being confident, God in His time will answer our prayers. We turn to God for all the things that we need for the ongoing care of our physical life, for the things we see around us. Being confident that God will hear the needs that we have and provide the best answer to the prayers. Your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. We come to God with our spiritual needs.
What is the deepest spiritual need that we have? It is the forgiveness of our sins. It is the reconciliation between a sinful man and a righteous God.
And when we turn to God and humble ourselves before Him and sincerely pour out our hearts, we can be confident
that He will provide the Holy Spirit.
That He will give us the grace to cover all our sins. That He will give us the grace to take us from death to life. That God, our friend, our Father, our great Creator, will not leave us with a deaf ear turned toward us, but will hear from heaven and respond. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit?
That's God's provision for His people. We may pray for everything. Everything we need spiritually, everything we need physically. And as we go through the Lord's Prayer together, petition by petition, we will see how it covers so much of our spiritual needs, of our physical needs, based on the confidence that God has met our deepest need. He has taken away our sin. He has taken away our guilt. He has reconciled us to Himself. If you have come this morning and don't yet know, if you are not confident, if you are not sure that that need has been met, then today is the day to humbly, sincerely, and confidently bow before God in prayer, asking Him for forgiveness and knowing that He will hear and He will answer. God, in Jesus Christ, teaches us how to pray. Oh, there are so many things we could want to learn, so many how-to questions we could ask. But His disciples, in seeing everything, said, Lord, teach us to pray. May we learn, as His disciples, that same glorious lesson, the grandeur, the importance, the power of Christian prayer. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, You are a great and glorious God. You are powerful, You are majestic, You are high and lifted up, and yet You, O God, stoop down to hear our cries for mercy. We thank You, O God, that You will always hear and listen to us for Jesus' sake, that You will not turn a deaf ear, that You will not turn a blind eye, but like the one who calls at midnight, like the son who speaks to his father, You are there and You will answer. May we be assured, may we be confident as we go forward today, to know that You will provide for us all of our needs. You will give us the grace and power of Your Holy Spirit to meet the needs of the week to come, to prepare ourselves to live lives more and more committed to bringing You thanksgiving, to bringing You praise, to bringing You honor and glory. We ask, O God, that You would hear the prayer that we now bring, the prayer from our heart, the prayer as we humble ourselves, the prayer that we confidently ask. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.